Good morning. So here we are on day three. It's felt very settled, very quiet. To that end, Edie and I are working on figuring out how not to rattle this so much. It's very complicated. I've practiced Zazen for years to be able to figure this out. To be able to keep this level of quiet. Catherine gives a good example of the tenacity of our habit energy, of our karma, of the conditioning of our mind. And I wanted to read it because I specifically remember this lecture. Up at Jikoji. We used to record all of the lectures in the old days on cassette tapes, and so we would bring our cassette player and the Zendo had, as huge as it was, maybe two outlets, so we had to string this long extension cord to meet where her seat was, even though we rearranged the seats to huddle around the wood stove. So I remember this lecture. Oops. She said, "This is a new robe that I'm wearing." It was the black robe, a new black robe that she got. "This is a new robe that I'm wearing. It's beginning to fold just the way my old robe did. I would prefer that it wouldn't fold so predictably like this." And then she sort of kind of showed how, here's the folds, and she wanted it to be like this, but it was different, so she gave a little demonstration. Oops. "I would prefer that it wouldn't fold so predictably like this. It didn't fold like this until I started wearing it. The weight and shape of the cloth, the pattern, how it is sewn, and how I move my body create the folds. And once the folds are in, they're in. Each time I wear it, it folds in the same place. The folds will not disappear even when the robe is ironed. As I'm noticing this, I'm going, oh, this looks just like my old robe. This is only the third day I'm wearing it, and it's already taking a familiar shape. Causal conditions." That, it's such a, what's the term, plaint? This now looks just like the old robe that I wanted a new crisp robe, and now it's got the same folds and wrinkles. That's the tenacity. We took our shape very early thanks to our biology, the environment, family context. These are our karmic conditions. when we are willing to be creased in a certain way and keep doing it, it's hard to uncrease us. We have learned to turn and bend a certain way because that is the normal now, or the natural now. It is hard to divert us. And of course, as she said yesterday, that we can really, as difficult as ironing the creases of our karma out of our body are, the only way we could possibly do it is with the ironing board of Zazen. I'm expanding the metaphor there. That's not her. It's my karma. And she says with the Zazen that each time we wake up to one of these creases in our mind, this habit energy, that same old argument, that same old picture of the person that pops up in our mind, and that long story that we tell ourselves or that is present about that person that's just by habit keeps popping up. And when we awake to that, you know, when that person pops up in our Zazen, and we have the opportunity to start ironing this crease out. Remember she said, when we wake up and come back to our inhalation and exhalation, each time we do that, we return. We interrupt the conditioned pattern of the mind. Each time we do this, we leave our storyline behind and return to our breath. We strengthen our awareness that breathing is what actually is happening, and storytelling is our fictional life. So that's, even though in the lecture she says it's hard to iron it out, this Zazen is the only tool we've got, and we've got this lifetime and lifetimes ahead of us to keep ironing. I'm just remembering now the Zazen story of polishing the tile. Why are you doing Zazen? The response was to become a Buddha. And so the teacher then starts polishing a tile. And the student goes, well, why are you polishing the tile? To make a mirror, the teacher responds, with the idea that no amount of polishing that ceiling tile is going to turn it into a mirror. And one interpretation of that koan is, you know, don't sit with a mind that wants something, that wants to be a Buddha down the line, and don't sit with that concept in your mind. But Dogen says, keep on polishing that tile. That's the only way you're ever going to get a mirror, is by polishing. So just keeps. And so his Dogen's recommendation is just keep sitting, and the realization that you are already a Buddha will emerge, even though we shouldn't have that goal. Our sitting gives us the opportunity, perhaps, to realize that we are sitting here already as Buddha, already with our awakened mind. So we heard a lot about this morning's chant, about Zazen instruction, about what this process is that we do in this curled up state, in this body of Buddha. What is this Zazen? And as we just read, one of Catherine's instructions was as those thoughts arise, that's a wake up, she says. When we wake up to, oh, there's a thought again, rather than just engaging the thought, when we say, oh, there's a thought that's just emerged, then we can come back to our breath and interrupt the continued habit of what that thought brings up, whether it's the idea of a person, whether it's thinking about one of the forms that we're doing here, whatever it is, we can come back to our breath. That's a pretty good Zazen instruction. The wake-up bell is the thoughts that emerge, and our practice realization is letting that thought go and coming back to our breath. One of the Dogen's Dharma heir, one of Dogen's Dharma heirs that is in our lineage, sort of the Koan Ejo, gives another Zazen instruction. Just be like space. Like a mass of fire. Just breathe naturally in and out and sit through everything without getting involved. Just be like space. We have to, I've said it before, we all have to choose our metaphor for what this practice is, because words can't reach it. What did it say this morning? Words and snares?
Traps and snares.
You know, we can't really corral what this Zazen is with things like words, so that I could tell you exactly what Zazen is. So we have to find a metaphor that really touches us, and I think that's what Zazen instruction is offering a variety of metaphors, hoping that one of them will resonate with the person you're talking with. Just be like space. What if when we awoke to the fact that, oh, there's a thought arising, or, oh, this difficulty I'm having with so-and-so, that thought is arising now. If we wake up to that, what if we just say to ourselves, let me just be like space again, whatever that would mean to you. And whatever your mind would do when you said to yourself, I want to be like space. I want to be like space. It's a little like I remember Shohaku speaking here and talking about Zazen. And he said, just sit. That's another Zazen instruction. Just sit. So if you awoke to the thought of that difficult relationship and said, oh, that's arising in my mind now, and you said to yourself, just sit. Not as an admonishment. That almost sounds like an admonishment to sort of say, don't think that, get back to sitting. But what if your intention was to save all beings with this practice, and you realize that you continue to single out this poor being as someone that you don't like very much. And so you reminded yourself that this practice is about not separating the world into likes and dislikes. So you just gently said to yourself, just sit. And what would your mind and body do if you just said that to yourself when a thought arose? Just sit. Be like space. Just sit. I like that image too of be like a massive fire. You know, we usually think of fire as this enemy that's coming for us, you know, on the news. The fire is heading towards Reading. It's getting closer and closer to Reading, as if the fire was thinking, I've got to get to Reading. But in reality, the fire is just the complete being with the world as it is. And it's got this energetic quality. Not like you're, I should think about what I'm saying. But it's got this energy. Sometimes when I feel that I'm just sitting, that I've got this kind of attention, this broad attention that feels like an energy I really do feel like I'm open and accepting of everything, and I'm just sort of sitting here amidst everything. So there's an awareness, you know, awareness. We sit with our enlightened awareness, and that has for me a certain energetic quality. So this be like a massive fire is just to be this energy that is totally, I mean, it is all the causes and conditions. It is heat and air and fuel. It just sort of is. So I like that image as a metaphor for Zazen. Maybe that's a good one to use when you're at the point in your Zazen that you're kind of nodding out. Maybe I should say, be like a massive fire. And that will infuse me with the sustained effort. Be like a massive fire and just be with your breath. Breathe naturally in and out and sit through. I made my own italics there, as you probably know, and sit through everything without getting involved. Without getting involved, without lunging towards something that looks a little interesting, without averting, without picking and choosing, just breathe naturally in and out and sit through everything without getting involved. So as that thought comes up again, it's everything. It's the only thing the mind is holding is that person I'm not getting along so well with. And just sit with it without getting involved, without retelling that story again about why the difficulty arose and why she has to do something completely different to fix it. Just sit without getting involved. This is a pretty good Zazen instruction. Be like space. Be like a massive fire. Just breathe naturally in and out and sit through everything without getting involved. Dogen Koan's teacher is the one who composed the Fukan Zazengi that we chanted this morning. Fukan Zazengi is sometimes translated as "I recommend Zazen to everybody." I think that's pretty straightforward. I like that translation. But in church we say it means the universally recommended instructions for Zazen. Remember, there's the largest paragraph in the whole chant is going over the posture pretty carefully. Sit in the full lotus position or half lotus position. In the full lotus, put your right foot on your left thigh and your left foot on your right thigh. In half lotus, simply press your left foot against your right thigh. Robe should be loosely arranged. Place your right hand on your left leg and your left palm facing upward on your right. So pretty exacting instructions of posture. So in our Soto Zen school, we pay attention to posture. I've heard it also tell that, of course, this is a yoga position that has energies that it is promoting when we do this yoga position correctly. Certain energies will be wafting through this body, which I think are important. Maybe it's the massive fire energy. Maybe that's another way of when I find myself nodding off, I could just go put my right foot on my left thigh, my left foot on my right thigh. I could just renew my posture and rediscover the massive fire energy of Zazen. So I think that's one reason why Dogen was pretty specific about this posture. He tells you where to put your tongue, for instance. He says that your nose should be in line with your navel. I mean, it's the whole works. Put the tongue against the roof of your mouth, the teeth and lips both shut, the eyes remain open, and breathe gently through your nose. And then what? Then think of not thinking. How do you think of not thinking? Non-thinking. This in itself is the essential art of Zazen. I kind of think that the essential art of Zazen is this think not thinking, non-thinking. I mean, it's the end of the paragraph, so the art of Zazen could also include attention to posture along with the think, not thinking, non-thinking. But I kind of think that that last line, the essential art of Zazen, is this non-thinking. And, you know, what is that? You have to decide what that is. And we kind of get at it. I'm just going to tell you, I've had to land on something to be able to understand it. And it we kind of come around the back door. One admonition about Zazen is we shouldn't just keep turning off our minds. It's not about that effort of, you know, saying bad thought and stopping. It's not about thought stopping. There's a technique to treat obsessive compulsive disorder where you have obsessive thought, and it's a horrible illness to have. There is no good treatment. And I don't even think this one is a good treatment, but it's in all the books. It just says, you tell yourself in a firmly, stop thinking. And that's supposed to cure you. And it doesn't. And unfortunately, it's a lifelong illness. And so, you know, if you could just tell yourself, stop thinking, you'd be cured. But it's, so we're admonished. That's not part of our Zazen. We don't just stop thinking. But when this person arises, can we handle that a little differently? So this person arises is a thinking. And I think non-thinking is what Koan Edjo said. Don't get involved. You know, don't tell that story over and over again. Or what Catherine said, you know, as that thought emerges, just break that habit energy and go back to your breath. So that's how I've put together what the think, not thinking, what is that? Non-thinking. I think that's how I'm holding all of those kind of difficult to understand terms. Just think it a little differently. Don't keep going there. Just don't get involved. Get back to your posture. Start feeling the heat of that massive fire once again. Think, not thinking. Earlier he gave another classic Zazen instruction. Learn the backward step. So before that it says, cease pursuing words and following after speech. That's when those thoughts arise in your Zazen. You realize that, oh, there's words again, there's thoughts again. That's Catherine's, you know, when you wake up to the fact that you've got a thought in your head that you're starting to run with. When the words and speech appear, learn the backward step and turn your light inwardly to illuminate the self. So that's another metaphor. You know, just say, oh, there's that thought again, and turn the light towards that. Bring attention to the energy of a difficult relationship, or the energy of worrying about how you're going to do your orioki. And that kind of changes the spin. That's kind of like one of those another non-thinking example. I'm just going to do this thinking a little differently. I'm going to shine some attention on it rather than just go along with the worry or go along with the anger. I'm going to shine some attention on that energy of worry or anger and sit with mindful attention, paying attention to my body, paying attention to my breath. And when anger comes up, I'll say, there it is again. I'm shining a little light on it. I'm bathing it in a little attention. Catherine's commenting on something similar. Each moment arises as a world of echoes. You are sitting with your breath, listening to thoughts, following thoughts, forgetting thoughts. A world of echoes arises. I like that. That echoes meaning kind of memories. You know, it's all happening in your head. It's, you know, that person isn't sitting right in front of you arguing with you. You're making up most of the argument in your head. So it's just an echo of maybe an argument that started, that you're continuing to hear. Anger, 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 worry, 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 echoing back and forth. Each moment arises as a world of echoes. What would it be like to sit in Zazen and go beyond, think non-thoughts? As soon as they arise, they dissolve and leave no trace. All these thoughts you have been having about your knees or your Oriyoki or your family, your job, worries about the future, regrets about the past, as soon as these thoughts come up, they pass. Nothing hooks them. That's the don't get involved. Don't get involved. Try not to hook them the way we're usually hooked so easily. Sometimes I get this image that my mind is like a file, like a rasp, you know, with all those little barbs, and everything just catches on it. Everything just catches on it, or that brush that I can get the cat hair off my robe with. You know, that just has those little barbs that grab a hold of things. No hooks, no barbs. You know, what if I were trying to get the cat hair off with a butter knife, for instance? It just wouldn't stick. It just wouldn't stick. A clean butter knife. I was trying to think of something with no hooks. A clean butter knife. I could scrape and scrape and the hairs would just jump to another place. Nothing hooks them. As soon as the thoughts arise, they dissolve. As soon as thoughts arise, they're burnt in that massive fire. They just arrive. They just arise. Catherine says, to finish off that, shine that light inward. Illuminate the mind that doubts itself. Illuminate that thought of anger. Illuminate that thought of worry. Illuminate the thought that doubting yourself. Illuminate the mind that doubts itself, that contradicts itself, that equivocates. Illuminate that mind. Instead of avoiding it or being pushed around by it, illuminate it. Open up into that mind. That is the mind of reality itself, actualizing itself. What would that illumination do? The mind of worry, the mind of anger. It kind of gives it a little more space. It kind of separates it from the other things that might hook it, the other associations, that might, you know, if I'm angry at a person, what if I just shone the light on anger itself? You know, not so much associated with a person that has all those opportunities to be, for me to catch that person. What if I just turned that light on anger itself, gave it a little more room to grow and expand, maybe cool off a little bit? This is our Zazen. Tomorrow I can finish up with her thoughts on the mind that's actually actualizing itself, that's actually being itself, the true mind that emerges when we're willing to keep looking at all those barbs, at all those energies. But all of this Zazen instruction and all of these metaphors keep us coming back, keep us reigniting that fire, keep us settling back into our posture, keep us alert on the cushion and just sitting with this mind and the mind of all of us together. May our sitting practice reveal to us again and again our mind, our true mind, the true mind of all of the Sangha, the true mind of all the world. And may the massive fire burn in us endlessly, beings are numberless, I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible, I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless, I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable, I vow to become it.